Opportunity that we could assemble together in a fashion like this to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's good to see each and every one of you, especially those that are visiting with us. We're glad you're here, and we hope that you'll be comfortable with us and feel welcome. We hope that we make you feel that way and that you'll come be with us time and time again. It's good to see each and every one of you. I tell you, God blessed us with a great gospel meeting last week. The sermons were great. The Bible classes were great. And we were encouraged. I'm still encouraged from that meeting last week. And then to top it all off on yesterday, a soul obeyed the gospel of Christ. And we're thankful for Patsy and her desire to put the Lord on in baptism. And I hope that before you leave today that you'll make an effort to stop by and tell her that you're proud that she did that and that you'll encourage her and stand by her side and that you're there for. I know that she'd appreciate that. I also want to say I appreciate the prayer on my behalf. I'll admit to you that I need it, and I appreciate that. And all those that had expressed kindness by cooking for us during the time that Tracy was sick, appreciate that. She's feeling better and able to be with us. I told someone last week, told more than one person, when Mama's down, we're all down. And it's times like that that you really find out just how much that you depend on her. I appreciate her and that she's feeling better, and appreciate all of you. Ethan did a great job in reading the scripture reading from Acts 17, verses 24 through 26. And there's a lot of things that we can learn from Paul's sermon on Mars Hill recorded in Acts the 17th chapter. There's at least 15 things as you go through that chapter, or that, through that sermon, that you can learn about God. It makes a good sermon, a good study. And that's not our topic this morning, but we are going to think about something that Paul mentioned in these verses that were read just a moment ago. All of us understand the importance, the necessity of boundaries. In just about every aspect of our life, when you think about it, we have boundaries, we have limits, we have limitations. We have thou shalt nots and thou shalt in just about every area of our life. And it's important for us to understand that from an early age. As early as we possibly can, we've got to understand the importance of limitations, the importance of boundaries. Now, when we're kids, we don't always like that. And I can think of times that my parents told me, I don't want you to do this, or I would ask permission to do something. They would say no, and I just didn't like that. That wasn't the answer that I wanted. But as much as we may not like that, when we're young and growing up and developing and coming to maturity, we've got to understand the importance of boundaries. And when we instruct our kids, we tell them what they can do, what they can't do. We tell them where they can go, where they can't go, how much they can have of something, and how much they can't, just on and on and on, where they can sit. I think about sometimes instructing kids, there's times when I say, I want you to sit right here. And they're willing to sit, hopefully, most of the time. But sometimes, if you notice, kids don't want to sit exactly where you want them to, do they? Well, they may be willing to sit, but they decide they want to sit somewhere else other than where you sit. Do you let them by with that? Do you look at it and say, well, I guess it's okay if they sit down there when I really said sit here? You got to be careful with that. If you set a boundary and you say, this is what I want you to do, this is where I want you to sit, you better be careful as to how much you're willing to give on that. Because they'll learn that at an early age, I guarantee it. And a lot of times our society would have us to think, well, things like that are not important. Oh, you got to let them learn on their own. Well, I can understand that to a certain extent, I suppose. But we understand that one of these days they're not going to be in our sight. They're not going to be where we can see what they're doing. And we hope that we've instilled the importance of boundaries in them enough for them to understand that when we say, yes, you can go perhaps to the chicken festival, it's coming up. Or you can go here, you can go there with your friends, but I want you to stay away from. Have we instilled that enough in them to know that they'll do what we say, that they'll respect those boundaries? I recall working with a lady, and she wasn't a Christian. She made no claim to being a Christian. Her children at the time were not Christians. She didn't come from a Christian background. And she would tell him, listen, there's no harm in allowing your children to go out to the bar with their friends just as long as they don't do it. You've got to let them go and make the choice for themselves. Well, I don't agree with that. And I hope you don't either, that we'll respect and we'll understand the importance of boundaries in just about every area of our life. We have boundaries. Sports, work, the home, just on and on and on and on. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about boundaries. Have you ever thought about that? Come with me to the book of Exodus chapter 19. And we'll notice, just by way of an introduction, thinking about boundaries, how that there were boundaries in the Bible. In Acts 19:12, begin with verse 10, the Bible says, or 19, verse 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourself that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. Suppose the children of Israel said, well, I understand there's some boundaries. I understand that we can go this far, but we're not to go any farther. I understand that, but surely the Lord is so merciful and gracious and kind and long-suffering that He'll understand if I just want to go and kind of see out of curiosity what's going on. Curiosity killed. I'm not going to finish that. You probably could finish that. But folks do get curious. Folks do wonder. But God said you place this boundary that the people not break it. Well, surely God doesn't really mean that. Well, notice the last part of that. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. Oh, yeah, you can go if you want to. You can break that bound if you want to, if you want to pay the consequence. Are there consequences for our actions? You better believe there are. And the very next verse says, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. The people had to respect God's boundaries. And when God said, you don't do something, well, you best not do it. But not only that, when you look at verse 23. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mount, and sanctify it. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 8, we read of the fact that there was other boundaries that the people had to respect that were set. The Bible says, when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Remember, God gave the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey, to Israel, to the children of Israel. And He set bounds. They had borders. That was theirs. Their enemies were about. Now, we realize and we understand, we remember that they didn't cast out or drive out all the enemies that were in the land. But they had boundaries. Exodus 23:31 also talks about that. Well, there's a lot of other boundaries that we read about in the Bible. For example, if you come to the book of Psalms, Psalm 104. And notice with me, if you will, verse 9. Psalm 104 and verse 9. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. Here the Bible is talking about water. In the book of Jeremiah chapter 5. And then verse 22. Jeremiah 5:22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea, by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. God placed a border, a bound for the waters of the sea. And man, has boundaries. In the book of Job, chapter 14, and then verse 5. Job 14, verse 5. Talking about man, he says, "Seeing his days are determined, the number of his months are with thee, thou hast appointed his bounds that he cannot pass." And then our scripture reading of Acts 17, and in verse 26, "And hast determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation." And again, the penalty for transgression going beyond these bounds is serious. Remember Uzzah, 2 Samuel 6. God had placed limitations upon how to carry the ark and so forth. And he broke that. Nadab and Abihu of Leviticus 10. And the list just goes on and on. You could find throughout the Bible of individuals who did not respect divine boundaries. And so that brings us to our lesson today. Now, I've put the title on the board, Divine Boundaries. When God places a limit, we best not go beyond it. And there's a lot of areas of which we learn in the Bible that there are bounds placed upon it, of which God expects us to stay within the confines, within the limitations, within the boundaries. And so I just want us to think about some of them for just a little bit. The first one I want you to think about is the divine boundary when it comes to revelation. How many times have we heard people today in the religious world, "Oh, the Lord laid something on my heart. God told me, God has been telling me, God has been moving me, God has been stirring within my spirit." Have you heard people talk like that? Revelation has boundaries. And it's always been the case that God has revealed His will according to the way that He has saw fit. For example, we know that God gave words to Jesus Christ. We've studied this on Wednesday night at length. How that Jesus spoke that which the Father gave Him. John 8, verse 26. And verse 28. And verse 38 of that chapter all talk about the fact that Jesus spoke what the Father gave to Him. Remember Matthew 17:5, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Those next three words, "Hear ye Him." I suppose God could have pointed back to Moses. God could have pointed back to the prophets of the Old Testament, but He didn't. He said, "Hear my Son." Christ spoke to the apostles, John 17:8, when He's praying before His arrest and His unjust trials and His slaughter upon the rugged cross of Calvary. Notice what the Bible says in John 17:8. "For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest me." There was limits on revelation. Christ taught the people. He taught the apostles the words that was given to Him. And then as we've studied on Wednesday night, the Holy Spirit revealed, did His work in the salvation of man by the revelatory word. The instrumentality of which God revealed His word to mankind even after Jesus ascended to heaven. Acts 1, verses 1 and 2, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which He was taken up." That means He did and He taught until He was taken up. And then the Bible says, "After that, He through the Holy Ghost gave commandments unto the apostles whom He had chosen." Yes, He taught them while He was on the earth, but He continued to teach even after He ascended, but it was through the instrumentality of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit only gave what was given to Him. Acts chapters 14, 15, and 16 bear that out. Then the apostles taught people, and they penned it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. "Not words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth." And those are the words that they pinned down, Ephesians 3, 3 through 5, whereby when we read it, we can understand what was made known unto them. The point about all of that is God is not revealing things to us today outside of the Scriptures. That's His complete final word to man. Nothing more, nothing less. They pinned it down, and if we want to understand what was revealed to them, then we have to pick the book up and study its contents. Pretty simple, right? And by the way, as I mentioned in a home study I recently did to a gentleman who I was studying with, how could you possibly obtain unity in the religious world if God was revealing things to different people? Well, you wouldn't even know what God was revealing to the next person. You wouldn't know what God revealed to me. If God revealed something different to them than He did to me, how could you ever possibly have unity? But we can have unity when we understand that this book has the way. It's sufficient, 2 Peter 1:3. And it'll make us complete unto every good work. Equip us unto every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 17. And so Revelation has boundaries. This is all we have today. This is all we need today. And that's why we make our appeal to what saith the Lord. What saith the Scriptures? Book, chapter, and verse, Bible preaching. And I hope that we'll continue to appreciate that and expect nothing less than that. But also, as you think about divine boundaries, we need to understand that the church has to work within boundaries that God has set, not that men have set, but that God has said we are limited to in our worship. That's why we're here today, right? To worship God. He's the object, our aim of worship. And in John 4:24, that you know so well, God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, we could have, like so many today, have gathered together upon the first day of the week on Sunday in the name of religion, and many of them in the name of Christianity, and we could have, I suppose, done any number of things that we wanted to do, couldn't we? Now, that doesn't make it right, but we could have done anything we wanted to do. God wasn't going by force limit what we did today. But He set a bound as to what we can do as revealed in the Bible. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. Why our worship consists of the very same things that it consisted of in New Testament times. We engaged in singing this morning. Ephesians 5:19, a host of other passages talk about that. We've observed the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 26 and beyond, Acts 20 verse 7, we've done that. We gave of our means, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. We've went to our Heavenly Father in prayer, Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 6. And we're teaching, proclaiming the Word of God, Matthew 28:19, Acts 20 verse 7. Why are we not doing anything else? Why are we doing less than that? Because we recognize that there are divine boundaries that God has put in place upon what we can do. And that's the way the church has worshipped ever since it began in Acts chapter 2, and we'll continue to do that until our earthly pilgrimage is no more or until the Lord comes back. But also when you think about that, we are limited to the organization, Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, whether we can be organized, and our work, Ephesians 4:12 and Matthew 28:19 and Acts 4:34 and 35. We recognize those boundaries. And there's a lot of other areas. Number three. When we are organized the way that God desires for us to be organized, elders have limitations. Boundaries. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves, unto the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which is purchased with His own blood. Now the importance of that is borne out as He continues to talk about the fact that grievous wolves would enter in among the flock. But they're limited. They have boundaries as to their oversight. That is the flock of which they are among. Or that is among them. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 and verse 2, The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you. Two times in two verses he uses this phrase, among you. Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You see, it's limited as to the oversight that they have. Not to a flock that's not among them. Not to a flock that's in another town, state, country, and so forth and so on. If that be the case, and there have been no instruction, no necessity for the instruction given to Titus by Paul in Titus 1, and in verse 5 when he said that he charged him to set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every church as I had appointed thee. Or in Acts chapter 14, verse 23, when they had ordained them elders in every city. And a specified church in Titus 1, 5. And their divine boundary is that they are to take oversight of the flock among them. Well, they're not the only ones. Preachers have boundaries. I value the time when I'm in the pulpit. I don't take it for granted. It's a privilege, it's an honor, and it's serious. But I have boundaries. I could spend the whole time that I'm up here talking about stories, making you laugh, making you feel good for the sake of feeling good, but that'll not get you to heaven. You might feel good, but that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Every sermon may be someone's last gospel sermon that they hear. Now think about that. And God has put divine boundaries and limitations upon what I can say. And if I want to be pleasing to God, I best stay within those boundaries. For example, in the book of 1 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 16, Paul writes to Timothy and says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." You take heed to yourself, take heed unto the doctrine, and continue in them. And so that's where I best continue. Taking heed to myself and the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, "Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine or teaching." Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me," Paul penned, "if I preach not the gospel." Again, that's 1 Corinthians 9, 16. And so preachers have divine boundaries that they cannot go beyond or fall short of. Paul said, "I've preached unto you the whole counsel of God." Acts chapter 20, when he was talking to the elders from the little place called Miletus. But not only elders and preachers, but men in general have boundaries when it comes to what they can teach. In 2 John chapter 9, the Bible says, "Whosoever abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, if any man abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, he hath not God. For whoso abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son." You think everybody's abiding in the doctrine of Christ today? Well, obviously not, because the Bible gave admonition and instruction to take heed as to what we hear and how we hear and who we listen to. And to try or test the spirits, whether they be of God, for many false prophets are gone out into the world, 1 John 4:1. In Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9, we just started a study of the book of Galatians on the TV program. We just finished up 2.5 months of teaching on the two covenants and wanted to follow up that with a study from the book of Galatians, and that began today through this week. If you have a chance to pick a CD up or watch that on the TV or listen to it on the radio. First lesson, I intended to get through Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and I got through Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, the first word. And so, I don't know how long it'll take us to get through that, but we'll get through it. But my point about that is that when Paul is writing in Galatians to these individuals who he warned to not depart from the gospel of Christ, they had been so soon removed from Him who called them into the grace unto another gospel, which Paul says is not another. Galatians 1:6. Then he says in verses 8 and 9, as if any man therefore preach any other gospel unto you, though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now folks, if that doesn't underscore and underline and cement the fact that God's Word is unchangeable and not to be tampered with, I don't know what does. But that's what Paul is writing to them about. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, these things I have in a figure transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes. That you not think in us or in any man above that which is written. Now go beyond that which is written. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Charge that they teach no other doctrine. That's a divine limit, a boundary that we read about in the Bible. That we've got to stay within the doctrine of Christ. But also, did you know and realize that women have boundaries? You might say, well, preacher, what on earth are you talking about? It's the 21st century. That's sexist. That you're just not saying that which ought to be said. Well, the Bible is not outdated. It never needs to be updated. And God knows what He's talking about. And in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. God's plan for the home has been spelled out in the Scriptures. Are we listening to Him? In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. But I allow or suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. That means she's not to teach in such a way as to show authority, exercise authority over a man. It's pretty simple, but that's a boundary that God has set. That's why we don't have women preachers. You might be asked that question along the way, why don't you guys have women preachers? And you can point that out to them. If you didn't already know, but now you know. But also, husbands and wives have divine boundaries. Husband and wives have boundaries. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul spent some time talking about the relationship between a husband and a wife. He says, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now I ask you, wives, do you respect that boundary? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. I appreciate the fact that my wife appreciates and understands the boundary set forth for her in verse 22 and 23. And that she's not out trying to submit herself unto some other man than her husband. You see that? Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now would you husbands appreciate and like the fact if your wife tried to be submissive to some other man? I dare say I'm safe in saying not a one of you would. Would you? Verse 25, husbands, we're not exempt from having a boundary. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Those are boundaries that God has put forth for us. Instruction that we're to follow. In Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 3, know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Divine boundaries. But also when you think about that, there's boundaries when it comes to salvation. To who is God's grace extended to? How would you respond to that? Everybody. All. All men, Titus 2:11. John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came to Jesus Christ. He died for everybody. Matthew 26:28, shed His blood for the remission of sins, He talks about, for many. Taste of death for every man, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. We were all sinners, and God commendeth His love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. And we've all sinned, as I said, Romans 3, verse 23. And so, God's grace is extended to all mankind. But salvation is limited from the standpoint of not everybody's going to be saved, though it's available to them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 7:21. In Acts chapter 2, when the first gospel sermon was proclaimed, they wanted to know what they had to do. Acts 2:36, Peter told them, Acts 2:37, they asked a question. He told them, Acts 2:38, they that gladly received His word were baptized. Acts 2:41, they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, verse 42. And the Lord was adding to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2 and then verse 47. Not everybody was being added to the church, but those who obeyed were being added to the church. Is that not right? Read the text and see. James 1:22-25. Talks about the engrafted word receiving with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Then continuing in it, for he that continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, shall be blessed in his deed. That's James 1:22-25. And so salvation is being made available to everybody. If you'll obey it. If you'll come to the Lord on His terms. One more point. There's boundaries and limits to fellowship. In 1 John chapter 1, we're told in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Our fellowship has limits. We're in fellowship with God and with the Son so long as we walk in the light that is the light of His Word. John 17, 17, Psalm 119, 104, and 105. And only when we are in fellowship with God can we have fellowship one with another. And that's simple, but that's the boundary that you read about in the Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18 talks to us about the fact that we've got to be separate. Be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Come ye out from among them, and be ye separate, and I'll receive you. I'll be a God unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, my children. Do we respect those boundaries of which we read about in the Bible? Those limitations, those bounds, the instruction that came from God. I hope we do. Should you be in our assembly this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Christ, God has blessed you with an opportunity to do that. You're not here because I sustained you to be here. I had nothing to do with that. But as Paul would say in that great sermon of which we began with a scripture reading in Acts 17, truly in Him we move and live and have our being. Don't leave this assembly on the outside of the ark of safety, on the outside of God. There's no hope. If we die outside of the Lord, well, how do you become a Christian? It's simple. Hear the gospel, Romans 10, 17. You've heard it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? John 8, 24. Repent of your sins, Luke 13, 3 and 5. Confess your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2, 38. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. You want to be restored. You want to start anew and come home. Why not do that? Repenting of your sins and making confession of them, we'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.